Welcome back to Palisade Radio. I'm your host, Tom Bodrovics, and joining me today is returning guest Patrick Karim from badcharts.com. He's a proprietary capital manager and chart trader. How are you today, Patrick?
Hi, Tom. I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
Great to have you back. I wanted to get your take on how your emotional management has been. How has it fared after breaking through 1800 and the all-important $18 mark in silver?
Well, it's for gold, it's kind of weird because since I've been tracking it so closely for a while, like since we had the 1350 breakout, the 1400, and it's like it's almost too hard to believe. Like we're already at 1800. A lot of wall of worries, a lot of it's going to stop. We're it's like a 2011. We're not ready. And when all those wall of words are there, they're kind of cool because they kind of keep your emotional in check, right? You want to hear them. You don't want to be like the horse there with those two things he has on the side of his eyes, right?
The blinders.
Yeah, the blinders. You don't want that. And it's very, sometimes I wish I had some blinders and just have think it's going to go to the moon. And it's kind of weird because I saw today like a lot of people like almost like celebrating 1800, but sometimes the charts are still very constructive, and we're probably going to go through some charts that I could show you there that were not extended yet to the point to worry. But it's sometimes I feel like we're close, like I'm very close to the like the complex, the precious metals complex. So when we have like this, we get that want to try to get that sentiment, like to see is everybody too bullish on gold? Everything I look around me, yeah, it looks everybody, oh man, gold, it's going to go up, I'm all in. But then I did a poll on Twitter, and then I said, where do you think it's going to best perform in the next 6 months? Is it going to be NASDAQ, gold, and silver? And silver, I think it came in first around 50, 54%, then gold at 30, and then NASDAQ at 15 or 20. And some people were commenting saying, Pat, I think I should sell tomorrow. But that's because it's like people that like gold, that have been following me, that have been answering that poll. But if we'd have that poll, let's say MSNBC would have that poll and say, what would you think? If I'd see the crowd say, oh, gold's going to outperform NASDAQ over the next 6 months, then I'd probably start to get worried. You know, it's a larger scale, a real crowd effect, you know, of people that are too long, too many people are long bull for gold. So we're not there yet, but it's always fun seeing the price going up. I'm never going to complain seeing that. I've had targets way back at the beginning. We've had measured moves. We had arcs like North Star's arcs. Everything was going to these levels. A lot of people are looking at important monthly defined, quarterly defined levels around that 1700, 1800 level. So we're there now. And people are expecting now it's going to be like a crunch, like decision time. Are we pulling back from here? Are we going back above? We're about at that region, right? And still very constructive, I think, for gold. And for silver, yeah, 18. Silver is a really, really wild specimen because it's like hard to believe that silver is still at this price. Like when I turned from gold after the March breakdown, and then the gold to silver ratio peaked and started going down. And then you saw like this might be the time for silver. And when you look at the chart, gold was already up, I think, at 1700, pull back, I think maybe to, I forget where, 1450 or something like that. But silver, it went down really low and it came back nice, but we're still pretty much close to the base. It's a 8 or 6 year base, around $14 monthly defined base. We're not that far off. So the risk is very low for silver. It could dip below, but you have a lot of up room, especially that gold paved the way through, the gold miners paved the way through, and the whole complex as a whole is really starting to drive upwards. I was really, really happy to see gold, silver like stick close, especially at least one day above $18, and hopefully the week we're going to close, we're going to stay above and we're not going to retrace. Because we've been burnt so many times, and I guess that's like for the every time for the past 6 months that we've tried to go over these levels, we've been refuted, and a lot of people are giving up. And but once all those sellers are gone and the chart says it's time to go up, we could have a nice ride up, guys. So that's pretty much how I feel on silver. Nobody's bullish on silver. Maybe I'm super bullish silver, but I haven't, like I said, until I hear my dad saying, hey, where could I get a gold? I'll start to worry, and I'll worry even more if he tells me, hey, I want silver. It's time to get silver. But until then, I think we're pretty good. The technicals are not too stretched, and I think it's gold time for silver. Gold might stall where it is a little bit and let that GSR, right, gold-silver ratio, for it to go down. You need gold to keep going up, but if it stalls a little bit and goes up slowly, but silver starts outperforming, we have that trend and that gold-silver ratio that wants to go down. And I think that's the place where we should be right now there in silver.
Yeah, it's funny, Patrick, as you and I were speaking about before the call, having yourself in an echo chamber isn't really ever valuable. And I think that's part of my goal on the show, is to bring differing opinions on to try and either confirm or tear down our opinions and how we're looking at the market, and to try and really construct an ironclad way forward for our listeners, and really appreciate having experts like you on to be able to get that information from. So let's turn a little bit to one of your charts here. It's the Dow Jones Industrial Average versus the silver futures. Tell us a little bit about why you mapped the Dow versus silver and what this chart actually shows us.
Sure. Well, I just started, often we like, U.S. equities have been kicking gold and silver's butt for a while. But then the first chart I did, it's not this one. It was I did the Dow versus gold. And then I saw, hey, wow, look at that. The Dow actually peaked versus it priced in gold all the way back in 1999. I said, okay, but what about silver? And what I like to do to fit the maximum amount of information and remove noise, always revert to my PNF chart. So it's only when there's important price movement reversals that it has a new column. So if you look at the timeline at the bottom, you'll see that it's all over the place. Sometimes for an inch, it's 2 years, and some for an inch could be 8 years. But you get really the price action movement. And the trend lines are very, very clear. Silver also outperformed. The Dow has been underperforming silver since 2001. And it's been what we've been having now since the 2011 was actually a bear market rally for that ratio. So that means the ratio is going back up. The Dow is outperforming silver, but that's within a bigger bear market that actually started in the early 2000s. And right now, 1, 2, 3, 4 important tests on the PNF chart of that line. I made a big circle, and that was taken probably before price action of silver exploded recently. And that's an important trend line. So I think if that breaks, we have those important moving averages that are going to start crossing over, doing a bearish cross. Those two technicals are very, very strong signal that we're resuming silver outperforming the Dow. So it's not just the gold. It's actually silver, inflows of capital going in silver versus the Dow. And there's a clear peak that the bear market rally for that ratio peaked in 2018 and fall of 2018, even for silver. So often now people silver underperforming. It doesn't look super duper on a chart maybe by itself with that big base, and it's still lagging gold. But versus the Dow, it's actually performing very, very well. And to give another representation, I added a histogram with the 36 SMA. And you see right now the Dow has been losing steam. It was way above its moving average and now less and less, and it's about to go negative. That means it's going to go below its moving average. So versus silver, and that's just the beginning for me for silver outperforming, or at least doing as good as the Dow and outperforming, steamrolling eventually, whatever is required, maybe as money printing to keep the Dow inflated. That's, I believe, is going to drive silver price up, smelling that inflation, and until we get eventually where silver bottoms out versus the Dow. And also for those fans of MACD, you can see a big, big paradigm shift, a crossing of those wires, those MACD wires really crossing over and heading downwards. So there's a lot of weight in that chart for inflows of silver versus the Dow. That was very telling for me. Like, I did not expect that. And just adds to when I saw that, I said, okay, silver, as soon as it breaks out, it's going to break out violently. Because I've seen also, if you could go back to 2002, when it broke down from that important trend line, it was violent. There was silver really outperforming the Dow violently. So I'm expecting that type of drop right here. And we're right on that trend line. It's just beautiful.
Patrick, can you just tell us what PNF stands for on that chart?
Okay, sorry. PNF is, for those not, it's an old school type of charting called a point and figure. I wish I remembered the name of the person that actually came up with it. And it's just a point and figure chart. So it's X's and O's. And when there's a reversal of a certain amount of price action, it adds a new column, and then it goes in the direction of that reversal. And then when there's enough price action that warrants a reversal, it adds a new column, then you have O's. So the O's go down and the X's go up, and it just does that when there's enough price action. So let's say the price action just fluctuates between a certain range for 10 years, then you'll just have one column for those 10 years until there's a sufficient price action that that warrants there that new column of O's going down.
Perfect. And just a reminder to our listeners, we have these charts up on the YouTube video if you're just listening to this on audio. So the next chart that we can talk about here is the Junior Miners daily chart. And you have on the right side, on the vertical axis, what you call volume-defined vacuum. So tell us a little bit about what that indicator kind of shows us and what we're seeing on this chart.
Sometimes I fall in these rabbit holes there, and I'm not quite sure what I'm falling into. So then I started experimenting and seeing, observing what that new indicator tells me about a chart within that chart. And then after that, I span it off to other charts. So right now, that what you see on the right is volume profiling. So volume profiling is the every time there's a transaction, a buy and a sell at a certain price, it adds to that. That histogram on the right. So it's not volume over time, it's a volume over a certain price. And it's like I see that as a magnet pull, an important price action, a fair value where the market says, okay, that's a pretty good price. Well, it's like a magnetic pull attracting little ferrite pieces, and then it glues together until you have a nice peak. And that's where the consolidation area happens. And once it's overloaded, it just lets go of those little particles, which are buys and sells. And then the price action just moves up. It vacuums and slides down whichever direction it took. And right now for the silver miners, it's actually sliding down. If you could down that peak. So the peak was around at 11.25 price action. Now the price action is above, and we're sliding down, less and less transactions, less and less resistance, less and less buyers that bought higher up that want to sell, creating some resistance. So for me, that's like super, super bullish. And since you see on the right axis, there's no volume defined resistance for this period of time until $15. The only thing that could stop it is hitting some new volume defined resistance that we can't see yet. So eventually, when there's important areas where people say, okay, you've moved far enough, you've stretched enough far away from your moving average, or I think the fundamentals justify that the price action should stop, then volume will start accumulating for certain price action. And then that's what we see as a range or a flag. And that's just healthy stuff until then the market decides, okay, do we go back down or we continue with the prevailing trend? So that's where I look at the bottom. So also use distance from moving average. And I call that distance from moving average resistance. So you could look at a chart and you want to know, when can I sell? I want to try to sell close to the top. I don't want to sell into fear. I want to sell into greed. Well, all you have to do is look at a chart, how it behaved previously. So let's say on previous moves, it stalled when it was, let's say 20% away from its 50-day moving average. And then the market's, okay, you're stretched enough. It's time for consolidation. Next time we have a nice thrust up with the weight of evidence, okay, I have some targets. I want to see my upward targets. then you could think, okay, I could at least get to that previously known distance from that moving average. That stock likes to be stretched. It's volatile. I'll let it run. I don't want to sell too early. But when it's stretched to what it's previously been known to revert back, consolidate or pull back, I want to take some profits. So that's one of the tools I'm using. And right now I was just on that chart arbitrarily. I put that 42% distance away from the moving average, which is a previous known resistance, and it brings me to $15. But the longer we take to get to that the price action moves up, that actually is going to slide up. So that 15 over time is going to be 16, 17, 18, 19, $20 until we're stretched that amount from the moving average, right? Because the moving average, it keeps going up and up. So whenever distance from moving average, you add on to that, you're adding it on from a higher entry point.
So it's kind of like a sliding scale as it progresses.
Yes. So it's pretty dynamic. I use some swing rules and measure moves. I know for the silver junior miners, we just completed a head and shoulders, inverted head and shoulders pattern, which has a measure move to $20. But if you want to be more flexible, maybe this target right here is going to end up at the same target as the measure move from that inverted head and shoulders. So different systems, different frameworks. Eventually, the price action, the targets have a tendency to end up pretty much at the same region where it's a good spot there to take some profits. But from here, even if it exploded crazy overnight or in the next few days, I have a minimum $15 target before I would consider taking profits for the silver junior miners.
And that's for SIL, right?
SILJ.
Okay.
SILJ, sorry. Silver junior miners.
Okay. As you were talking about the distance from moving average, your next chart that we have is Spot Silver's daily chart. And you have right on the bottom there the distance from the 50-day moving average. So you also have a price target on here of $20.50. So is that target still achievable, do you think?
Yes, for sure. So this is a pretty recent target chart I did, and always trying to see where could I hit my resistance, where, because when the price action is at 20, I know we're all going to be euphoric. We'll be checking our broker's account, look at my net gains. We're all going to be patting each other on each other's back. And like you said, we're going to be in an ecosystem, all of us, and my followers, myself, they're following me because I have some bullish views on silver. Sometimes not for the same reason they have it. Some people it's for like philosophical reasons, or they're pro gold because they're anti-establishment or whatnot. But it's going to be very dangerous to be able to sell here at $20. I'm probably going to say, oh, Pat, why don't we go to 55 right away? We could stretch it some more. I know, because I've been trapped. I've done that to myself, and I rolled back some stocks all the way back to entry point, and then you give up, and then it goes back up, and then you're just like, what am I doing in this trading field? I'll just stick to my regular day job. But so that's why I try to come up with these tools to and try to expand them. So you see silver, like from September, distance from moving average, about 17% where it stalls. So it really, and there's probably a lot of FOMO right there when the price action is going to be 17% away from its 50-day moving average, a lot of greed. And that's when us, with our tools, with our technical analysis, we say, okay, I'm going to take some off the table, take some off, whatever it is, 50%, 100%, you want to leave a little bit, but you know, okay, you're increasing your probabilities of hitting a stop. And we know also that $20, if I would stretch out to a monthly chart, that's an important monthly defined resistance from those 2016 highs. So that $20 at 2050, 21 is a very significant level for silver, just like 1350 or 1400 was for gold. So that's silver catching up. That's just what gold did back in June of 2019. Silver is going to get all the way up here. So that's a good way to take profits using that distance, that elasticity defined by the distance from the 50 moving average. And you could also see volume profiling, right? I'm leaving it pretty much on all my charts right now because it helps as a visual cue. Even if I misread the patterns, we clearly see that we're past the apex of that that peak volume that was just on under $18 at $17.75, we're above it and we're really sliding down. And we see there's not much volume resisting. There's not a lot of buyers that want to sell until we start hitting that $19.25, $19.50. So that could be a little congestion area. We're going to find out when we get there if we start attracting more and more consolidation. So that small volume node could get a little bit bigger. So that's also an area where we could expect some resistance or a pullback. But until we reach that distance from the 50-day moving average, I'm not going to sell all of my position because I want to let it run. And it's not letting it run just based on the, I think silver's going to the moon. It's letting it run based on previous behavior. And that's the beauty of using technical analysis and looking back at the history. It's not going to get there in the same exact pattern it did previously, but you get a behavior of when sellers are going to jump on board, human emotions, right? Because it's always human emotions. They buy and sell based on emotions. So for silver, that's a type of stretch you need for really that FOMO to kick in. And then we run out of steam there.
So let's just make that rule a little more explicit and simple, Patrick. When we get close to the 50-day moving average, that's when we're going to sell?
No, when we get 17.8% away from the 50-day moving average. So okay. We'll be way above it. So we're going to be selling into greed, into FOMO. So the moving average is going to be below us, but we're going to be stretched, just like there's a section in May where you see all those white candles and we really exploded away from the 50-day moving average. The chart's kind of going to look like that. It's going to look like a parabolic move. So it's when we're above. So when we're so far away from the 50-day moving average, which is below us, that's when it's going to be time to take some off the table.
Perfect. Well, let's move on to, there's a really interesting chart, the big cup and handle formation, and you have an upper price target on silver's yearly log masterpiece. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is the ultimate noise reduction. Yearly candles, you don't have to do them often because we only add a candle every year. But when you do it with silver, every time, like I think we've talked about this previously, people, silver's peaks is 45 in the 80s or 50 in the 2011. But I always draw my trend lines on closes. So if I look at the close in the wicks, I see them as noise. That's the noise from monthly candles, from weekly candles. We have a clear neckline at $31. And there's kind of like a rule that usually the angle of entry into a symmetrical arc is often the same angle of exit. And right now, and this chart was done a little while back, so now the silver price is actually 1826. Okay, just a little bit higher than that. We could actually, this year, we could get pretty close to that 31 and would still be respecting that entry of descent that we had going inside that the handle part of that huge cup. You could kind of see it also, look on the huge cup. We had that 1979 peak or 80, and then it goes down violently, then bases, and it didn't go up slowly. It went up pretty much violently, like a mirror effect on the other side. And that's what we're expecting here. That's what happened with the gold chart. That's what happened with the gold miners. Look all those charts up. We're expecting a beautiful, and a lot of people love precious metals complex for the beauty, how the charts respect technical analysis. They're not all over the place. They're very harmonious, and they respect those classical charting patterns very well. And we could see we actually had a breakout in gold and silver last year, confirmed above, it's hard to tell right here, maybe $17. And right now, all we had in March was just wick, just noise. And if you look at the smart time frames, you're a trader, yeah, that's violent. You'll get shaken out. But for those holders that bought right, that are position sized correctly, for them, that was actually a buying opportunity, which is probably incredibly hard to do. Bravo for anybody who's able to buy at those 2000, at the March Madness bottoms for silver. I wasn't able to buy at the exact bottom because it's almost impossible to do. It's super hard, except those guys who really know, who have conviction, who know where this is going, who have been looking at the charts, who have lived previous bull and bear markets. So I'm still learning there, but we see that that was one of the greatest buying opportunities probably ever for silver. And that's all the up room, all the way to 31. Once we're at 31, then we'll have to see. It could be a wick above, like that 2011 wick that really spikes up, that goes above, only to close below. That could happen maybe in 2021. But eventually, the final target is at least $58 minimum target. It kind of fits with some of my other techniques I use there to get some measured moves for silver around 60, 65. So that's a conservative target there that we should be reaching for silver. But it's very volatile. It could peak, spike upwards during intra-year above 31. But definitely possible, I believe, for not this, if not this year, for at least early next year, that we should be hitting 31 for silver, guys.
Awesome. And as Ronnie Stofferly says, let's leave the bottom picking to the proctologists, right?
Oh, God. Nice.
What kind of price target could, or what kind of timing are we looking at for that $58 to $65 target?
It's too hard, I think, to tell. There's some cycle analysis out there that the market for silver, I don't know if I might have, it's too hard to tell. Honestly, it's a measured move, but I'd rather get to that 31 first, see how it behaves. If we close above 31, have a year close convincingly above 31, then we could have do a measured move and look at the angle of draw some new trend lines, see where we're at. But for that 58, it's hard to tell from where we are right now.
Perfect. Our last chart that we're going to look at here is the silver futures monthly log chart. What if it is actually already broken out? Tell us where we are right now, and the volume, and basically the different things we're looking at on this chart.
Sure. Okay. So this is kind of a lot of people looking at silver spot price, which has because of contango and discount, there's like often a premium on the silver futures versus spot. So the chart is not always the same. And if you look at the futures, the way I drew, I had a descending trend line there that started in mid-2013 going the way down. And the way I drew it, I actually have a confirmed breakout in May, June, July, in May. So we had a solid Marubozu candle closing about closing above a horizontal breakout line, I think at 1775. Had a descending multi-year trend line that we closed above. We close above peak volume. So if I can come back to my volume profiling, the most of the volume was around $17. So for those watching this on YouTube, there's a huge peak of volume with going down in valleys on each side that was at $17. That's huge monthly. If we're above it, it becomes monthly defined support. And that is an important bottom. And we're above that. We're starting to slide down. And I put a little tag because it's kind of hard to see. And the price action when I did this chart for silver was around 1821. And we're already starting to slide down. And I was looking at that chart and I said, Pat, we're already broken out. The June candle, we had a wick below that breakout line. But look, we closed above. And right now we're just consolidating above that super duper important breakout line. We're testing it. And we're sliding down that volume vacuum right here until we find the next volume node, which is around that 1950. And if we come back, if we came back to that first chart, then you would see that the price action actually bounced off that where I thought the breakout line was. And we're actually heading upwards towards that 1950 to test that volume node right there. And after that, if you have a little bit of imagination, then you see there's a huge valley with barely any volume, and that's going to create a suction, a vacuum all the way back to the next volume node, which is around $27, $29. I did a post recently and I said, guys, all the hard work has already been done. Silver has already done hard work. It's already decided that it's starting to slide down upwards. The whole precious metals complex, the weight of evidence, everything's going upwards. And we're right there. We're going to see this thing fly. I don't want to be maybe too optimistic. Maybe I'm in too much of my ecosystem. But based on this chart and my volume profiling, as we've seen in other charts, there's a vacuum actually that's going to, silver is going to move very, very fast to that $27, $29 level once we break above that that $20 level. So we've got maybe a little bit of consolidation once we're there. Since we'll be away from that 50-day, too high above that 50-day moving average, where we're going to have to, it might consolidate a little bit. But once we're past that last hump, it's going to be, everybody's going to be on the fear of missing out on the silver train right there. Then you'll get those Robin Hood guys that'll probably want to jump on there when it's close to that resistance there at 29, where we should be starting to consider to sell. That'll be one of the warning signs there. And also, I overlaid the Bollinger Band on that chart. And also there was some talk, okay, how do I know if I'm too stretched? So always try to find techniques to see if you're really stretched and you're doing the improbable. Well, silver rarely has it had a severe consolidation there if it didn't close out of those Bollinger Bands, that little beige with that black outline. And right now we're really within it. So there's no price stretched according to the Bollinger Bands. We're not in we don't have a peak, a candle outside of it like in 2011 or in 2016, where we had some consolidation, important consolidation once we're out of those Bollinger Bands. We're really within it. So it's really, really nice and coiled and ready to go up. We know the gold-silver ratio is starting to go down. It's following the VIX that is also going down. It's following the DXY, which is also going down. So when you add all those pieces without knowing exactly why the charts are behaving that way, the whole weight of evidence is really supporting silver is going to go for that 20. And once it passed that 20, we're going to vacuum up to 27. And if you go back to that yearly chart, then you would also see that's the target for the next 12 months, hitting that that $31 target there on that yearly chart for silver.
Awesome, Patrick. I think that was a pretty good episode on all things silver, let's say. I know last time everybody really enjoyed your book recommendations. Do you have any new ones to suggest?
Okay. The book I could recommend, which I didn't mention last time because I believe that everybody, maybe they knew it. It's the Edwards and McGee Technical Analysis of Stock Trends. This is like known as the Bible of classical charting. So if anybody never read John McGee and Robert Edwards' book of technical analysis of stock trends, that's a Bible to keep in handy there on your side table if you ever want to reference how a pattern is, how it's built, its prerequisites. It's a staple in any technical analysis trader's library.
Perfect. We can find you at badcharts.com and at badcharts on Twitter, right?
It's at badcharts1 on Twitter. Somebody stole it before me. So Twitter, badcharts1, that's where you could find me. And don't hesitate to ask me questions, or if a contrary view there, I welcome it. Anything to keep me in check there and prevent me from drinking too much opium.
Right on, Patrick. Well, we really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. Nothing on this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Guests on this show are not compensated for their appearance. Listeners are urged to educate themselves and make their own decisions. Do not base any investment decisions on the information contained. To view our full disclaimer, please visit our website.
Think you understand the junior mining sector, and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?